Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. When you purchase real estate, you get a lot of rights, or do you? Today we're going to talk about air rights, water rights, mineral rights, and a whole bunch of property rights you didn't even know to ask about. And we've got a couple of great guests today on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
Are you still sitting on the sidelines trying to figure out when and where you're going to buy those investment properties? Well, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Atlanta, Georgia is still on sale, but you better act fast because the deals are almost gone. Hey, this is Ken Corsini with Georgia Residential Partners, and I want you to know that there may not be a better investing opportunity than Atlanta right now. Listed as one of the fastest growing markets in the country, both in terms of jobs and population, Forbes predicts 26% appreciation over the next 3 years. At Georgia Residential Partners, we sell turnkey, cash-flowing investment properties. We also sell wholesale properties at insane discounts. We're launching a new home construction product this summer as well, and if you're still nervous about stepping out into another market, I will personally partner with you on a small portfolio of homes, if that's what it takes. Don't wait any longer. Check us out at gainvesting.com or call our office at 770-924-5450. We look forward to hearing from you.
Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms. With me, as usual, co-host financial strategist, Russell Gregg.
Hey, Robert.
We get a chance to go out and meet all kinds of interesting people. And today we're going to cover a topic we really haven't discussed. It's very foundational when it comes to real estate. And we had a chance to interview a couple of folks who are in this space. So fascinating stuff. Put your seatbelts on. Today we're going to talk about property rights.
Yeah, I mean, you know, foundational, I think, is an understatement. As Americans and most people in the free world today, modern society all around the world, we tend to take for granted the fact that you can own property. But for most of human history, the rank and file, the average person, the average human being was a subject of the king, and all the property, that's where the term real estate comes from, the royal estate, all the property belonged to the monarchs. And if you were lucky, you got a piece of land that you were able to work and you could keep 75% of your produce. And then you would send the rest off to the monarch, and that was your taxes, and that was your rent for using the property. And so this concept of personal property rights and the individual being empowered was really somewhat of a novel concept when the United States of America was formed. Of course, it wasn't the first country to do that, but we did it on a scale that nobody else did it, and then we kind of spread that system around the world as people saw the prosperity. Well, you know, it's a funny thing that happens is you go along in life and then you forget the way it used to be. You don't remember. So today we have all kinds of property rights that a lot of people don't even know about. And so there's a lot of creative opportunities. And there are a whole bunch of people feeling like property rights are somewhat under attack because you've got groups of people saying, hey, the rights of the individual are outweighed by the needs of the many. And yet the foundation of America was the rights of the individual was the single most important thing. We're not here to say there's a right or a wrong or what our opinion is. It really, for our purposes, doesn't matter. What matters is these are debates that are going on, and it can and does directly affect the profitability and your profit potential. And while it creates problems for some people, it also creates a lot of investment opportunities.
Boy, it sure does. Real estate is not as simple as just owning a piece of land. There are certain jurisdictions where you have restricted ownership. What you can do with that land is restricted by many things, by zoning, by local ordinance, by height restrictions. Right. You generally, when you buy a piece of real estate, it's thought that you own, if it's private property, we'll talk about that in a minute, you own the land below, the air rights above, and any water or mineral rights on the property. And that's true in some places. A lot of agricultural land is sold that way. But there are a lot of major jurisdictions where things like the oil rights don't go to the owner of the property. They've already been negotiated out. Same thing when someone subdivides land. When they go through the initial subdivision process, they can reserve certain rights and limit certain rights. And as a real estate investor, you just need to understand that, right? If you spend today learning about property rights, that's maybe enough, or maybe you want to do a little more research. But either way, when it comes to doing due diligence on a specific property, hopefully by the end of the show, at least you'll know some of the questions to ask.
Well, I mean, just even for your rank and file investment, you know, you go out there, how many of you have bought a condominium? where you bought something that belonged to a homeowners association and you get handed a couple of different documents. You get your HOA docs and you get your CC&Rs. And you're looking at these documents. Most of us don't read them. We trust our real estate agent to tell us what the most important things are. But typically, they're going to have the right to assess us, and we're going to be obligated to pay, or we run the risk of having a lien placed on our property. We may not be able to paint the house the color we want, or put in the kind of tree we'd like, or put in the kind of landscaping, or maybe we want to raise chickens in our backyard, and we're not permitted to do that. So these are the types of things where there's restrictions on your rights. You don't have typically, especially in residential areas or commercial areas, unfettered rights to do whatever you want with the property. And so if you have very specific plans or very specific business model around those rights, don't assume that you can't get them. And the other thing is, don't assume that because you have them today, that when you're ready to use them, you're going to have them then. Things change, and sadly, they change after the fact, and it can screw up your whole business model.
As we're going to learn today. But before we get there, let's talk about the basic types of property there is. You know, the most common property that you and I would consider investing is private property. Private property generally has the most rights associated with it, subject to the exclusion. Then there's common property. So take that HOA you were talking about, you buy in a condominium development or any kind of planned unit development. Now there are certain parts of the property that are owned in connection with other people, common property. Then, of course, there's public property, which is not usually really public. It's usually owned by a state or a park jurisdiction or the U.S. Department of something or other. And then there's land that kind of the fourth area of land is what we would call open access property that's not actually owned by anybody. Think of the middle of the ocean or, you know, the atmosphere. I mean, there's places where nobody has any jurisdiction over the property. But for the most part, what we're considering today is the rights that an individual owner has on private property. And as a course of due diligence on a property, you're going to understand what those things are. You're going to read those CC&Rs, the restrictions that are placed on a property. You're going to understand whatever zoning there is that prohibits certain uses. So we want to just make sure we are buying property with the rights that we need. One of the areas you look at, for instance, is water rights. In certain areas, when you buy a property, you have right to any water or natural well that occurs on it. But in other areas, you don't. The water rights are very controversial, and this is a big topic.
It's a huge topic. And of course, you can imagine how complex it is, because a lot of these water deposits or oil deposits or gas deposits or mineral deposits, they run underneath the property line from property to property. And when you have something fluid where you drill and you're pulling over from the other guy, I mean, you know, how do you decide how all that works? And so you can imagine there's all kinds of controversy and debate and problems when it comes to this. And again, as we said at the top of the show, because of that, there's also some opportunities. And we're going to get a chance to hear a little bit about a very specific situation where an arbitrary legislative line created two very different sets of rights and affected the economic benefit of the property owners. And it's a very interesting story when you get a chance to hear it.
Absolutely. So stay tuned for that. We also have two attorneys on the program together, because you know anytime there's this kind of controversy, there's going to be attorneys involved. But you'll have a chance to hear from them shortly. There's also rights like air rights. Like typically, there's a restriction on how high you can build in an area. If you live in a residential area, there's a chance that there's some restriction. And all you have to do to find out is go to the building department and say, okay, how high could I build? Then you go to other areas where air rights become exchangeable, like in Manhattan. In fact, interesting article came out earlier this year that says, hot Manhattan air rights market rises and fetches record prices. It basically says that the resale market for air rights, that's a square foot of air up above the land, have risen between 2012 and 2013, 47% in Manhattan. Any guess what you might pay for a per square foot of air rights in Manhattan?
I have no idea.
Well, the price is up from $207 to $305, and there were 34 air rights deals done in Manhattan last year.
Yeah, that's crazy. So equity happens, right? I mean, the point is that there are aspects to real estate ownership and opportunities to make investments that some people are aware of, and it's a niche they specialize in, and you may not be aware of it, but it may be something that you would be very interested in. We had an interesting situation a few years back where we were working on some development projects, and these guys were coming in, and there was a big thing about conservation rights. In other words, if you wanted to develop a wetlands and you were going to take the wetlands out of the environment. In order to do that, you had to compensate the environment by purchasing the rights to wetlands in other areas and putting a restriction so that nothing could ever be built there to make sure that a certain percentage of land in the general vicinity stayed wetlands. And an entire business model was created based on going out and purchasing these remote wetlands areas that had really didn't appear to have any economic value. And you'd buy it from these people who thought this is worthless land. But the people who understood, no, I can go sell the conservation rights or the wetlands rights to developers who will pay a huge price because they're trying to do a development in an area where the wetlands is worth a fortune. But they've got to replace it. So again, it was a very interesting business model. It brought to my attention the fact that there's a whole aspect of real estate investing that I'd never even contemplated.
Just like carbon offset credits.
Yes.
I mean, there's a lot of different ways that real estate rights can be used. Development credits. Sometimes you have the right to develop a certain number of units per acre. In certain marketplaces, you can trade those development rights, right? We're in a project right now where we're looking at building over water units. Well, when you build a unit over the water, it's not actually over land that can be subdivided. It's public land. How can a jurisdiction allow you to build there? They trade you development rights from the interior parcel that you own so that you don't overbuild. I can't completely build my parcel and then build into the water. I have to do one or the other. And sometimes it's a 2 or 3 to 1 trade-off. So this isn't meant to be an entire discourse on property rights. It's mostly to get you to think about it. And I think our first guest today is really going to help you understand how far this can go. Her name is Karen Moreau, and she's a farmer. She's also an attorney. She also is a lobbyist. She's a very, very interesting gal, and she's put together a documentary film. When we come back, you're going to hear a little bit about her film and her story right here on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
Real estate investment advice right in your mailbox. Sign up for the free Real Estate Guys newsletter at realestateguysradio.com.
Live where you want to live, but invest where the numbers make sense. Even better, invest where you have a solid team to support you. We've been hearing great things about Memphis, Tennessee, and Terry Kerr from Mid-South Homebuyers. Since 2002, Terry and his team have been delivering turnkey rental property solutions ideal for out-of-area real estate investors. So, if you're looking for affordable, trouble-free, turnkey investment property, call Terry. Use our resource hotline at 888-510-6838, extension 118. That's 888-510-6838, extension 118. Or find them in the resources area of our website at realestateguysradio.com.
Hi, this is Patrick Donahoe of Paradigm Life. Over the last few years, I've had the privilege of sharing the services of Paradigm Life with you loyal Real Estate Guys Radio listeners through our website, www.beerbank.com, and also on the annual Investor Summit at Sea. Subsequently, we have seen a variety of financial situations across the socioeconomic spectrum and how everyone, regardless of their situation, would improve their financial lives by following the system we specialize in. As a result of this experience, we have created an online e-learning system so anyone without obligation can learn about the infinite banking concept. This free e-learning program is found on our website, www.beerbank.com. So check it out today. The website again is www.beerbank.com.
Hi, this is Anthony Melchior from Hotel Impossible, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Guys radio program, the number one download podcast on real estate investing. We're talking today about property rights, and believe it or not, it's not the same everywhere. The woman you're about to meet has a tremendous story. She's an attorney and a farmer and also a film producer. We'll talk about that before we're done. Welcome, Karen Moreau. How are you?
Good. Good to be here.
Thanks for taking time to share your story with us. Fascinating stuff. So let's start at the beginning. Your family immigrated to the country and started to acquire land, the American
yes.
dream, right? Tell us the story.
My family name is Bulich. It's Karen Bulich Moreau. And my grandfather and grandmother were immigrants from Croatia back in the early 1900s. Came to an area in upstate New York known as Cementin, and it was called Cementin because that's where all the cement plants were.
Okay.
And like many Croatian immigrants, settled there, worked in the, my grandfather shoveled coal at night, and he had a rented farm from the cement company, saved their money, and bought a few miles up the Hudson River a piece of land, at that time 100 acres, and they started growing mushrooms. And back in the 1940s, mushrooms were really lucrative to grow. And there were over 40 immigrants in the Hudson Valley that grew mushrooms. And the reason they grew mushrooms on the Hudson River is because the Hudson River had ice houses. And when refrigeration came along and ice houses became obsolete, they were well built as insulated buildings to grow mushrooms, because you have to grow mushrooms in very cool temperatures.
Yep.
So you had all these mushroom growers. My grandfather was one. My grandfather actually was kind of old when he started, and didn't really get it. His farm was failing. And my father, who's a young man at the time, and his brothers pretty much decided they're going to have to change things. And they ended up learning about new technology and science to be able to grow mushrooms in a better way. My dad, Frank Bulich, and his brothers turned the place around. And over time, over decades, my father bought more land on the Hudson River. And our family farm today, which is in Catskill, New York, is about almost 700 acres.
Okay.
I really got into the whole issue of property rights because in my family, I'm one of nine kids. We all worked on the farm. Most of my families are farmers. I also have my own farm near Albany. But my dad was like, you know, someone in our family's got to be a lawyer. And it was me. And so I became a lawyer. And early on in my career, we were starting to feel the pressure from second homers in the Hudson Valley. They belonged to environmental groups. They sat on their boards. And our property was beautiful on the river. And there became this real aggressive effort between government and environmental groups to restrict our lands to the point where we'd never be able to develop it. Or even though we don't develop it and don't have any plans right now, we do value our equity.
Sure.
So I ended up representing my family at hearings and became really involved in this whole issue of property rights. And then over the course of my career, have represented farmers and landowners all around New York State on property rights issues. Started a foundation a few years ago pro bono called the Foundation for Land and Liberty. It's landandliberty.org. And became very friendly with farmers in the southern tier along the border with Pennsylvania. And they were really frustrated because they are in under moratorium in New York State, unable to develop their mineral rights for leasing for natural gas development.
Which is a very common way that landowners can get some utility out of their land by leasing their mineral rights.
And what's especially nice from the perspective of someone like me who loves farming, loves land, loves agriculture, modern natural gas development with horizontal drilling and hydraulic fracturing, the surface impact is very, very minimal. And it's a very short term. You know, the drilling comes in, the fracking comes in, they're there for a couple months, they put the wells in, wells start producing. The landowners who are above the ground, still farming, they get royalties every month, very significant dollars.
Yep.
They sign leasing, they get leasing signing bonuses. Some of the farmers in the southern tier that did sign leases years ago were paid like $2,500 an acre. So if you had a 1,000-acre farm, you got $2.5 million. This allowed many of them to keep going. They could pay their taxes. They could buy a new tractor. They could fix that barn. They could put more cows on. But what's happened overall there is a very, very dismal picture, because while Pennsylvania to the south is prospering from over 5 years now of being able to drill for natural gas and this huge concentration of wealth that has been dropped into a rural area in Pennsylvania, not unlike New York, these farmers and landowners in the area around Binghamton and Elmira and across the southern tier of New York State that have tremendous reserves in the ground can't touch them. And they literally look out their windows and see all this prosperity physically. New farms, new barns, new tractors, new cars, new hospitals being built, new churches being built, kids going to college that their friends' kids are going to college and their kids are not. I mean, it's literally East Berlin and West Berlin. And that line between New York and Pennsylvania, though it's just an arbitrary government border, has really defined where wealth and prosperity are happening and where poverty and decline are happening. And sadly, it's happening to hardworking people who have held this land for generations, who never asked for anything, and now wanted to be able to lease their land and can't do it.
This is an amazing story. You have a natural reserve under the land on one side of the border which you can say is fairly arbitrary, wherever the border was when it was originally set up, on one side, because of the law, not because of the land or because of the utilities or any of that, because of the law, they're able to enjoy the benefit of it. On the other side, they're not. This is a huge lesson for real estate investors.
And when you look at property, and I have a background also, I'm a country lawyer, but most of my practice is focused on real estate and municipal land use and zoning. And the whole issue of zoning regulation today is a really very challenging one for anybody that considers investing in land. My family's experience in the Hudson Valley is that we're really always having to watch out. We have to be vigilant. Because every time you turn around, there's a new initiative where they want to restrict your property. They love the look of it. They love the open space. They love this beauty that we've provided off the backs of our own hard work for generations. And now they really, actually, the people want your property, and they don't have to buy it. They can go to their local government. They can enlist the support of environmental groups, and they can start a movement to change laws on the local level to take away your property rights. And unfortunately, in New York State, the New York Court of Appeals just a couple of weeks ago ruled that towns can ban or zone natural gas development. They can ban drilling. So, town boards change hands every 2 years.
Yep.
And so literally you can have three people on a five-person town board that can eliminate your family history of hard work and perseverance to build wealth. And they can do it with a stroke of a pen through a zoning ordinance.
And this isn't an isolated incident. I mean, and it's not just about New York. All over the country and all over the world, we see cases of this. I mean, people are familiar with eminent domain when the government can come in and take land, and there's reasons why they do that. But this is a much more subservient way to come in, and because the land's beautiful and you've done a good job, we want it to stay beautiful. Right. We don't want you to be able to develop. We've developed our land, but now, no, we need your pretty land to stay that way.
Exactly. And this is happening in many towns and areas across the country. Typically, where you have it happens like where you have nice suburbs that come up and they're wealthy. And people are accustomed to, they want to go out to the little family farm and buy their eggs or whatever. And they get out there and like, wow, we really like this. We never want to see this change. And so they get involved with their town governments in trying to stop, lock property owners into this picture, which really takes away their wealth and their equity. Because even if you're a landowner that doesn't want to develop your property,
right now,
you need to that can change in a heartbeat.
Sure, or over generations.
And you manage a stock portfolio, and you want the liquidity and be able to sell. And certainly, there's risk involved with that. But the bottom line is, you don't have the government most of the time coming in and telling you, well, we're going to start manipulating your stock portfolio.
Right.
And this is sort of what they do with zoning today. And it's all across the country. The film that I made, The Empire State Divide, which was made in memory of my dad when he passed away, it was made by my family through the Foundation for Land and Liberty. And you can watch it online. It's in three short parts. But it really focuses on this issue of property rights and what happens that there really is a rural-urban divide. There's a rural-urban divide where the power centers that make the policy are very urban. And they make a lot of money in these urban areas, New York City, for example, and people move up to the country and then they decide this is where their second home is. They don't want to see anything else.
Right.
They don't want any industry. They want no production. And when you don't have production, and so much production is land-based, whether it's mining, whether it's natural gas, whether it's farming, whether it's cement, when we lose that ability to harvest resources, to produce, and we're losing it because of NIMBYism. We're losing it because of second homers that just don't want a truck rumbling by. We're really losing our economy in this country, and our potential for growth is taking a serious hit.
So, Karen, obviously telling your story through the film is amazing. Before we're done, we'll tell you how you get your hands on a copy of it. It's a short film. Well, help us understand, what can be done about this? As an attorney, what are the things that you're able to do other than just create awareness?
Well, I think one of the things that people really need to do is if they're invested in land, even if they're an absentee owner, even if you're a downstate person and you're invested upstate, you really need to pay attention to what's happening in the town. We're seeing that state regulation and federal regulation, that, you know, it is what it is. But what's evolved is the most, I think, the most dangerous potential for taking away your investment lies in local town boards, zoning boards, planning boards. So you have to pay attention to what's going on in your town. Where your land is, you've got to pay attention. Step number one, because a lot of times it's just a matter of knowing what's going on, going and talking to people, and getting people together that are on your side.
Right.
And, you know, you want to do something before a law is passed, if you can. And when it comes to zoning law, there's procedures that have to be followed. They're not always followed. And they don't have to give you actual notice if they're changing your zoning.
Right.
And, you know, they just have to give public notice. And that, I have to say, you've got to subscribe to the local newspaper. And you've got to read the legal notices.
Yeah.
So for investors, that's where you have to be vigilant. Because today, that nice piece of land you bought that you thought was worth what you paid for it, with a stroke of a pen, with a sneaky passage of a zoning law, they can really wipe you out.
All right, the film is called The Empire State Divide, and if you want to get your own copy of it, and you should, if you go to the website?
You can go to the landandlibertyfoundation.org. There's a, you can just drop an email that you'd like a copy. They're $20 a piece. We are actually raising money to do another film about a farmer in Virginia who has a conservation easement and the problems she has had. These are the kinds of issues we focus on in the foundation. We try to show through film and through video how these issues really impact people. So we welcome support, but if you want to get the film, just drop us a line.
All right. Well, thanks so much for sharing your story with us and for spreading the word. People need to know about this.
Thank you.
Return to the Real Estate Guys radio program. More when we come back. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Live nationwide, you're listening to the Real Estate Guys. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com.
Are you ready to profit in paradise? Hi, it's Robert Helms, and if you think real estate investing means tenants, toilets, and termites, think again. Located just a short plane ride from the U.S., a virtually untouched paradise awaits, the beautiful country of Belize. When you go to Belize with the Real Estate Guys, you'll spend four fabulous days discovering one of the most intriguing real estate markets I've ever seen. With its jungle rainforest, pristine beaches, and 81-degree turquoise water, Belize is one of the most beautiful places on Earth. Plus, it's considered one of the top seven tax havens in the world, and why U.S. real estate continues to drop, Belize property is on the rise, and many experts think the best is yet to come. But don't just take my word for it. Come experience Belize firsthand at our upcoming investor field trip. When you join us, you'll discover the many reasons we love Belize, like tremendously undervalued beachfront land, super low taxes, ease of doing business, and so much more. Get the details at realestateguysradio.com. Just click on events. See paradise for yourself. Click events at realestateguysradio.com, and I'll see you in beautiful Belize.
Hi, this is Frank Holmes, Chief Investment Officer and CEO of U.S. Global Investors, and you are listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program, heard every weekend on this great radio station, all the time at realestateguysradio.com, talking about property rights today. Before we get back to that, it's time to ask you a real estate trivia question that has something to do with that. As soon as you hear the question and think you know the answer, send us an email to trivia at realestateguysradio.com. Trivia at realestateguysradio.com. The first person to get the right answer is going to win a copy of My Next Step, the great book by RE/MAX co-founder Dave Leniger. That can be yours if you know the answer to today's trivia question. Before we give you this week's trivia question, last week on The Real Estate Guys, it was Ask the Guys. Here was our question. The northernmost point of the Earth is the geographic North Pole, which is in the middle of the Arctic Ocean. What's the northernmost point on land? Well, the answer?
Santa's Village.
Santa's Village is the answer, exactly. No, very close to that. It's Kafiklubin Island, which is north of Greenland, and it lies slightly north of Cape Morris Jessup in Greenland. So there you go.
That's complicated. I would have called it like Land's End or North Point.
Yeah, well, we could come up with a new name if we purchased it, as long as we had the naming rights. Here's our real estate trivia question for this week. Name the largest U.S. city without a formal zoning code. What's the largest city in the U.S. that has no zoning?
Mayberry RFD.
Nope, bigger than that. And it's a pretty easy question if you're a student of real estate. But That's okay. Get it quickly to us, and you can be the owner of My Next Step by Dave Leniger. Awesome book on his personal struggle and really inspiring. Plus, he's the guy that founded one of the big real estate companies. So that's today's real estate trivia question. Send your answer to trivia@realestateguysradio.com and be sure and include your name and mailing address. Now, Russ, you actually had a chance to see Karen Moreau's film.
I did. It was 22 minutes long, and it was really interesting. It opened up talking about her history, her family history in mushroom farming. And it was really interesting, you know, because it was on the Hudson River and all this property. The title of it is Empire State Divide. And what it really speaks to, as you heard, is a divide between what's going on in the state of New York with the way they are approaching property rights and environmental issues, and what's going on in the state of Pennsylvania and the way they're approaching property rights and environmental issues. And it's creating two vastly different economic outcomes for the property owners. Now, you know, you can argue about what's best for the environment and what's fair. Should people have the right to do whatever they want to do with their land? That isn't really the point as far as, you know, when I'm looking at it.
Right. I mean, there's controversy about this documentary because they say it's big oil interests and all. Well, whatever. As real estate investors, the point is it's a great indication that the legal part of rights in property can drastically influence the returns you can make.
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge, especially when you don't really understand those rights, you know. So it's a windfall for one group of people, and it's a complete source of frustration for another group of people. And of course, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of lawyers and litigation and lobbyists and rhetoric flying around about the topic. We thought it was worthy of bringing it to your attention because there is probably an investment opportunity. Let's say, for example, you were to go to approach some of these Pennsylvania farmers and you were to say, hey, understand you got a problem. You know, property's not worth much. I'll give you a few $1,000 as an option on the property. And they're happy to have a few $1,000s because they're distressed. And then what you've got is an option to buy the property if, in fact, somewhere down the road, the rights changed. Now, you'd be speculating on that, and maybe it would be a good investment. Maybe it wouldn't be a good investment. It depends on what else you might be able to do with the property if you ended up with it. But the point is there's opportunities in there to help these people with their short-term cash flow problems. Will you put yourself in a position to potentially win long-term? And a lot of times we don't understand that those types of opportunities exist in marketplaces. But anytime there's distress and real estate is involved, there is an opportunity for you to go in and solve somebody's short-term problem and put yourself in a position for long-term gain.
I think the big lesson here is having multiple exit strategies. If you've based whatever investment you've made on a particular thing that could change, like tenant-landlord law or development rights, then there's a chance that the value changes because of that. And some of the areas where this can affect your ownership aren't just in tangible rights or transferred rights like airspace or water or mineral rights, but when something like rent control comes in, and when a city or county says we're going to limit the amount of rent a landlord can collect, that limits the value of your property. Or we're going to limit the number of units that can be erected per acre. That limits the development as well.
We had that exact situation. My family had a property in Pasadena, California, been in the family forever, and the property really is way past its best use, and it needed to be redeveloped. And I looked at it and thought, oh, this would be a great place to put a multifamily property and get a lot more units per square foot because there's clearly demand. Real estate is at a premium. So rather than just go out, let's go vertical. Well, it turns out there was a restriction on how many units you could put on a given parcel of land, and you could not get the math to pencil based on the restriction they had, but they didn't want that particular area to get too dense. And so the net of it was my family ended up having to let the property go because we weren't able to extract the value that was there. We felt we could add an amenity to the community, get this eyesore property out of the way, build a brand new property, create additional housing units that would be affordable. We thought it was a win-win. But when we went and talked to the planning commission, they go, no, nah, not going to do it because we have a different idea about what we want to do.
You know, we did a show a little while ago on changing use. And changing the use of the property can be a great way to profit. But also, change of use can often be denied. You go in with an idea. You want to upzone or downzone or change, or like you're talking about, to have some idea that you think is better. And the powers that be just say, no, not interested in that. So If we're just buying single-family houses in residential neighborhoods to invest in, you might never run across this, but then again, you might. Think about some of the older areas where what were once single-family houses are now offices, right? Not too far from here, there's a whole bunch of attorney's offices that are in 100-year-old houses that 100 years ago were houses, and today are office space. In fact, today you can't live in those houses because they're not zoned for residential.
Right, exactly. And so the point is in these transition periods, sometimes there's going to be winners and sometimes there's going to be losers. Most of the time, the people who aren't paying attention are the losers. And the people who have an opportunity to really profit or at least mitigate loss are the ones that are paying closer attention. But if you don't listen to a show like this or even are aware of the things that might affect you, you don't even know what you should be paying attention to.
Absolutely. Now, what happens if something goes wrong in this instance? Well, the woman you're going to meet next is also an attorney. She's a litigator, and she actually specializes in property rights and defending property rights. Anastasia Bowden is a fellow in the College of Public Interest Law, where she works in individual property rights for Pacific Legal Foundation. We'll hear from her when we come back. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Hi, this is Doug Casey, and you're listening to the Real Estate Guys.
Are you achieving everything you want in life? What if there was a time-tested way to ensure that 2015 is your best year yet? The most successful people in life set goals and keep themselves accountable. But how? The good news is that it's not rocket science. You too can learn the skills and unleash the motivation that will create success in your life. And now is the time. Hi, this is Robert Helms, and I'd like to personally invite you to attend Creating Your Future, the 2015 Goals Retreat, January 9th to 11th in beautiful San Diego, California. This unique weekend event has been called phenomenal, inspirational, and life-changing by the hundreds of people that have attended. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com and click on events, or call 888-489-7723, extension 18. Get your life back on track, physically, spiritually, and financially. Attend the 2015 Goals Retreat on the second weekend of the new year. Click events at realestateguysradio.com. This is no dress rehearsal. Live the life you were meant to. Visit realestateguysradio.com or call 888-489-7723, extension 18 today.
Hi, this is Sam Freshman, author of Principles of Real Estate Syndication, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program in Las Vegas, Nevada. Anastasia Bowden is with us. She's an attorney. Tell us a little bit about what you guys do.
Sure. Well, we believe that everybody has the right to use their property as they see fit, so long as they're not harming anybody else. And if they want to develop their property, they're perfectly welcome to do that, and the Constitution protects that right. And we're pretty much needed nowadays, given what the government's trying to do to property owners.
Well, this is interesting because so many real estate investors don't even think about the fact that the rights to own the property and what you do with it are a critical part when you buy a property. Now, a lot of times we'll buy an apartment building or a house, and there's something already established there. But property rights are fascinating. If you look around the world, there are places where it doesn't operate like that, and obviously you guys work on cases where there are problems.
That's right. I think that people take property rights for granted. You know, they're enshrined in the Constitution, and people think that this is America. This isn't some European country where these rights have been completely eviscerated, and I think people would really be shocked to know what the government is doing.
So, Anastasia, give us some examples of some of the kinds of cases you guys work on.
Well, I like to tell you the cases with happy outcomes, because you have to stay positive in the line of constitutional law when you're in that business. But, for example, we had a client in Southern California who owned a dilapidated historical site, and they wanted to update it. They just wanted to remodel it and make it into a bed and breakfast.
Okay.
And the government said they would only grant them that permit if they allowed the public to have complete access to that property, which would go right past the bedrooms of this bed and breakfast, which would allow people to peep in, to trespass at all times. And they also wanted them to create a balcony or a place for ships to kind of come and dock. And they can do this. They hold you hostage when you want a permit. You want a permit? Well, you got to give us something back. They use property owners as an ATM machine. And so we sued them and said this is unconstitutional. Supreme Court precedent says that if you're going to impose requirements and burdens on property owners in exchange for their right to develop their property, those conditions have to be relevant to any sort of damage that a property owner may be doing, if they're doing any damage, and it must be proportional to that damage. You can't simply impose extraneous requirements requirements on people. And we won that case, so that's a happy outcome.
All right, excellent. Now, you know, obviously when you look at the ways that this can manifest, you have someone who has a particular use in mind, or they go to file for an entitlement or a permit and something comes up that isn't right. When is it that somebody figures out there's a problem and comes to you?
Basically, when they apply for a permit and the government comes back with these crazy conditions, that is the first time that most people are even aware that this is happening in this country. Like I said, people don't think that it can happen, and maybe they've never sought to develop before, so they're unaware. And so they say, you know, some people, we have clients on the coast, and they just want to repair stairs that go down to the sea, or they want to repair their seawall. They're not even saying new development. They're not having any impact on the earth. They're not blocking anybody's views. They just want to restore their property because they live on the coast and it's exposed to the elements,
right,
and it's for their safety. And so they think that this is a pretty reasonable request, and they go to the Coastal Commission or the local zoning commission, what have you, and the government comes back with these crazy demands. And so they end up Googling it, and they oftentimes find us because we're one of the only institutions that does this kind of work in America, and we represent all of our clients pro bono. So it's something that people really need right now.
Now, is it the case that people just don't understand maybe what the zoning requirements is or any of that? Or is it just the fact that particular jurisdictions are taking advantage of landowners?
I think that's it. I think that they take advantage, and there hasn't been a lot of pushback. I think that for most people, maybe they don't find it economically worth it to fight this in court because legal bills can be so costly. And so these local zoning boards and government agencies have sort of gotten accustomed to getting their way. They think that it's totally fine. They think that it's within their power. And so, you know, maybe they just don't know that it's possible for people to fight back. And sometimes it's not possible for people unless they have somebody who can represent them for free.
Now, how often does this actually turn into a legal battle versus you reach out and a few letters and a few back and forth? Is it always adversarial?
You'd be surprised. The government often doesn't want to back down. Sometimes it's surprising. You know, I've read of cases where they've deemed certain parts of land wetlands, and the property owners have come back with a map and said, no, you see what you pointed out as wetlands? That's a different street. Same street name as ours, but the different street on a completely different side of town. So
wow.
You've gotten that wrong. And then the EPA will go away, and then they'll come back and they'll say, oh, no, we have a new map, and your property, too, is still wetlands. The government doesn't want to admit they're wrong. They don't want to give up this power. And so it oftentimes does turn into a fight. We've had two Supreme Court cases, two wins, in the past 2 years.
Wow.
And as you know, the Supreme Court does not take very many cases a year. So it goes to show how egregious the abuses are and how often they do turn into a fight.
How long is a typical legal battle going to take on a property right issue?
Well, it depends, but likely years and years and years. Maybe not if we get a quick victory and the government doesn't appeal, and that's what we hope for.
Yeah.
Just kind of depends on the personalities involved, but there's so many cases that, you know, the courts are, it's a slow process, but we always do our best to push things through as quickly as possible to get cases solved on motions rather than going through trial, because we know that, you know, time is ticking. People want to develop, and sometimes it's a matter of safety, and so we try to push them through as quickly as we can.
All right, good stuff. Now, this isn't all your firm does. We were certainly interested in property rights, but you actually cover kind of a bigger area than that.
That's right. We do private property rights. We do environmental litigation, basically pushing back against wetlands determinations that have no jurisdictional basis or that don't give due process to property owners. We do individual liberty. We do economic liberty, and that's representing small businesses and entrepreneurs when they're having a hard time getting started because of completely arbitrary and onerous government regulations. So we do a lot of things in the realm of individual liberty and basically trying to bring the government back to its proper scope and showing them that the Constitution still matters.
And unlike most attorneys who are just going to have a retainer, you guys are donor-supported.
That's right. We're 100% donor-supported. We don't take any money from the government. We just take money from people who like what we do.
Well, tell the listeners how they can find out more about you guys.
Well, please visit our website at pacificlegal.org. We have a blog. It's liberty.pacificlegal.org. Check us out. Google us. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook. Check out our cause.
All right. Great having you on the program, Anastasia, and keep up the good work.
Thanks for having me.
You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Need help with your real estate investment portfolio? Check out the resources page at realestateguysradio.com.
If you love real estate and have always wanted to own your own business, listen up. The Real Estate Guys and their panel of experts want to teach you how to go full-time fast in the real estate syndication business. These next few years may go down in history as one of the best times ever to acquire investment real estate. There are deals everywhere if you know where to look and how to assemble the resources. The Secrets of Successful Syndication Seminar will show you how to make big money doing big deals from a team of experts that have syndicated projects totaling more than $1 billion. Don't wait for someone to give you a raise or create a job for you. Attend the Secrets of Successful Syndication and learn how to build a team, raise capital, find deals, and make full-time money in 6 months or less. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events. All the big players use syndication as a way to diversify risk, optimize profits, and earn big money. You can too. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events.
Hi, this is Darren Hardy, author of The Compound Effect, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Today we're talking about property rights, and it's something we don't stop and think about, but hopefully, as you've learned from our guest today, there are things you ought to be aware of.
You know, so one of the major issues is this eminent domain concept that's been going on. This is where a municipality, a government agency, state, local, federal, whatever, can step in and by force of law, take your property. Now, they're supposed to give you fair compensation, but there could be sentimental value. What they determine as fair may not be fair based on your plans or your potential, because let's face it, these bureaucrats aren't entrepreneurs. They may not see the value the same way. They're going to pay you what they're going to pay you, and they've got the big hand, you know, so you're going to get what you get.
That happened to my family many years ago. My grandparents owned a building that was in the path of the proposed highway corridor. And the city came to them and said, we're taking it over and here's your compensation, which was exactly the situation. This is a property that's very important to them. They had raised their kids in and so forth. And none of that mattered. They got paid something, not very much. We're told to step aside. Until 2 years ago, that building still existed more than 40 years after the city took it over by eminent domain, because today when you go down that freeway, it makes a turn about a block before the building. At the time they took the building over, they said, oh no, it's going to be right in the middle of the freeway, which wasn't true. So absolutely, cities and counties and states and the U.S. government and lots of other governments have the right to come and seize your personal property.
Well, and the thing is, you know, the law is supposed to be very protective of property rights, and that's why you get compensation. They just can't come take your property. And again, at the top of the show, we talked about how in the past, the monarchs could do whatever they wanted, but we have established a free society where the individuals have rights, and yet as we're hearing, those rights come under attack all the time. And so it's something you have to be constantly vigilant in. Another area is recently with this big foreclosure crisis. These states were coming in and they were finding that banks were owning properties, that landlords were owning properties, and they were upside down and they couldn't make the mortgage payment or they couldn't invest. And in order to try to stop the blight, these municipalities were coming in and wanting to take away the property from the private owners, not because they were going to add some piece of infrastructure, but they kind of took that idea of what's in the public interest to the next level. And to me, the whole concept of taking over individual rights in the public's interest is the camel's nose under the tent. We got a chance to hear a little bit about that. It's hard not to express your own feelings and say, hey, this is the way it should be or this is the way it shouldn't be. But again, as we said at the top of the show, it really doesn't matter because it's going to be what it is. And your best chance to react to what it is to be paying very close attention to these issues. It's the reason developers go to planning commission meetings.
Absolutely. And you know, the thing about it is until this is brought to your attention, you probably don't realize it, which is what the purpose of the show is. Not to scare you away, not to worry you that there's going to be some problem, but just to go on eyes open. It's part of the due diligence process and to understand that these exceptions that we hear about do happen. And so big thanks to our guest today for helping to enlighten us about property rights. Next week, we've got a great show for you with a fabulous guest. You're going to want to tune in for that. In the meantime, go out and make some equity happen.
This episode of the Real Estate Guys Radio Show is brought to you by Paradigm Life, powerful cash management strategies using life insurance. Learn more at beyourbank.com. Mid-South Home Buyers, low-cost, turnkey cash flow properties in Memphis, Tennessee. Corporate Direct, asset protection strategies for real estate investors from attorney and rich dad advisor Garrett Sutton.
Find these and other great companies under the Resources tab at realestateguysradio.com. To learn how you can expose your product or service to the Real Estate Guys audience, call 888-489-7723 extension 4. That's 888-489-7723 extension 4. Or use the feedback page at realestateguysradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week right here on the Real Estate Guys Radio Show.